In 1971, a terrified family in rural Arkansas fired shots at something trying to break through their window. What they described wasn't any known animal. It was a 7-foot-tall, hair-covered creature that moved with incredible speed and left behind 3-toed footprints that baffled local experts. The encounter that left the Ford family shaken that night would become known as the Falk Monster Incident. This wasn't an isolated event, but part of a mystery spanning generations. From yellowed newspaper reports in the 1850s to eyewitness accounts in 2021, something unexplained continues to haunt the swamps and creek beds around the small town of Falk, Arkansas. The story of the Falk Monster didn't begin in the 1970s with the Ford family encounter. Long before it earned its modern name, something strange lurked in the dense woods and murky swamps of southwestern Arkansas. In fact, the earliest documented encounters with the mysterious creature date back to the mid-19th century, when the region was still being settled by European Americans. In 1851, the Memphis Inquirer published an account of settlers in Arkansas who reported a wild man roaming the wilderness. The description was striking: a tall, hair-covered figure that walked upright but moved with incredible speed through the dense forest. Just 5 years later, in 1856, the Caddo Gazette detailed another encounter with a similar creature. These early reports emerged more than 100 years before Bigfoot entered the American cultural lexicon, with settlers having no template for what they were seeing. No popular movies or television shows had primed them to expect a mysterious ape man in the forest, a large, bipedal creature that matched no known wildlife. What makes these early accounts particularly compelling is their consistency across decades. The height, typically between 7 and 8 feet tall, the dark, shaggy hair covering its body, and the unusual gait that combines speed with an awkward swinging motion. These details remain consistent across witnesses who had no contact with one another, like separate artists unknowingly painting the same subject from memory. For decades, the creature remained a whispered legend, appearing like a phantom at the edges of civilization, seen briefly, then vanishing into the primeval forest that once covered this land. The creature moved through local folklore under various names, including the Jonesville Monster, named after a settlement near where many sightings occurred, showing how the legend evolved geographically over time. As the 19th century gave way to the 20th, documented sightings became sporadic but persistent. Local families passed down stories, hunters reported strange encounters, and occasionally, someone would find unusual tracks in the mud, like ancient hieroglyphs left behind for the bewildered to interpret. Fast forwarding to the mid-1900s, the phenomenon entered a new phase when a report was filed with Miller County Sheriff Leslie Gleer in 1946. This marked the beginning of what researchers considered the modern sighting period. The report described a large, hair-covered creature walking on 2 legs near a creek bed. Sheriff Gleer investigated but found no conclusive evidence, though he noted unusual disturbances in the vegetation and what appeared to be large footprints. By 1955, the encounters became more direct. A 14-year-old boy hunting alone in the woods near Falk reportedly fired at the creature with his shotgun loaded with birdshot after it had approached him aggressively. The creature appeared completely unaffected and continued toward him until he fled. Adults later found broken branches and what appeared to be large, 3-toed footprints in the soft ground near the creek. Throughout the 1960s, sightings increased in frequency. Locals who encountered something strange often kept quiet, fearing ridicule. Hunters found deer carcasses torn apart in ways inconsistent with known predators. Families in remote homes reported hearing unusual screams and howls at night, like ancient calls echoing from a time before humans settled this land. Strange 3-toed tracks would appear in gardens or near chicken coops, silent messages from something that moved through the night. The consistency of these accounts across time raises intriguing questions. Why did settlers in 1850s Arkansas, isolated from broader cultural influences, report a creature so similar to what witnesses would continue to describe well into the 21st century? If the Falk Monster was purely imaginative, we would expect its description to evolve with changing cultural references. Instead, we see remarkable consistency across eras when communication between regions was limited. These scattered reports might have remained local curiosities, passed down through generations as campfire tales, if not for the events that unfolded in 1971. The momentum had been building, more frequent sightings through the 1960s, more detailed descriptions, more physical evidence in the form of footprints and disturbed sites. But what happened on that May night in 1971 would transform these scattered whispers into something that captured national attention. The creature that had lurked in the shadows for over a century was about to step into the spotlight in a dramatic way. All the elements that had been building across generations would suddenly converge in a single night of terror that would make the Falk monster a household name. May 2nd, 1971, started just as another quiet evening in rural Arkansas. The Ford family had moved into their small home near Boggy Creek less than a week earlier. Bobby and Elizabeth Ford were still settling in, surrounded by the dense woods and swampy areas that characterize this remote corner of Miller County. The home had screen windows that allowed night air to flow through during hot Arkansas summers. This night, those screens would become the only barrier between the family and something from the surrounding wilderness. The area around Boggy Creek created the perfect environment for wildlife. Thick forests provided cover while murky creek water supplied food. Animals thrived here. Deer, raccoons, foxes, and occasional black bears. The Fords were accustomed to the wildlife. Living in rural Arkansas meant accepting nighttime animal sounds or curious creatures wandering near homes. But what approached their home that night was something entirely unfamiliar. Elizabeth Ford woke suddenly in the darkness. What had disturbed her sleep? Movement at the window, something pushing against the screen. As her eyes adjusted, she realized with heart-stopping clarity. A large, hair-covered arm was reaching through, grasping for her. She screamed. Bobby jolted awake. He saw it too. Massive, trying to force its way inside. It stood 7 feet tall, he would later say, with a chest about 3 feet wide covered in dark hair. His brother Don rushed into the room. The men grabbed rifles while Elizabeth fled to another part of the house. The creature tore at the window screen. Bobby fired. The gunshot cracked through the night. The beast paused. More shots followed, 7 total between the two men. It backed away but didn't flee. Instead, it circled the house, testing for entry. The family huddled together, firing whenever they glimpsed its massive form. Finally, Bobby made a desperate decision. He ran outside to drive the creature away. In the darkness, he collided with it. The impact knocked him down. Its coarse hair brushed his skin. A powerful stench, like skunk mixed with wet dog, overwhelmed him. Bobby scrambled back inside, and shortly after, the creature vanished into the woods. Once safe, they called the Miller County Sheriff. Deputies arrived to find the family shaken but unharmed. The evidence they documented lent credibility to the incredible story. A window screen torn with frame bent outward, the distinct scratch marks on the porch and exterior walls, and a series of unusual three-toed footprints surrounding the house. These tracks measured approximately 13 inches long and 7 inches wide, suggesting an animal of considerable size. Their three-toed nature became the most distinctive characteristic of what would be called the Falk monster, setting it apart from other reported cryptids. Jim Powell, a reporter from the Texarkana Gazette, transformed this local incident when he visited the scene and interviewed the family. His detailed article captured public imagination, describing not just a wildlife encounter, but something that defied explanation. What happened to the Ford family that night challenges our understanding of the creatures that might still exist in our deepest forests, Powell wrote. When National Wire Services picked up his story, the encounter became headline news across America. Newspapers nationwide carried accounts of the Southern Sasquatch. Radio station KAAY offered a $1,090 bounty for the creature's capture. Hunters and thrill seekers descended upon Falk, hoping to spot the monster or claim the reward. This spotlight changed the quiet community forever. Residents who had heard whispers about a strange creature for years suddenly found their hometown associated with a monster. Some welcomed the attention. Others resented the invasion and sensationalism. The attack included details not widely reported initially. Elizabeth mentioned strange noises around the property for several nights before. Their chickens had been unusually agitated and their dogs refused to enter certain areas of the yard. Neighbors admitted seeing unusual movements in the woods but had stayed silent, fearing ridicule. The Ford family encounter marked a turning point for the Falk monster legend. What had been local whispers now had documentation, physical evidence, and credible witnesses. The creature that had lurked in Arkansas folklore for over a century suddenly stood in the spotlight, which would grow brighter when an independent filmmaker saw potential in this rural monster story. This frightening encounter would soon inspire a project that cemented the three-toed beast in American popular culture, transforming a terrifying night into unexpected fame for a small southern town. While law enforcement and journalists were trying to make sense of the Ford family attack, a local filmmaker named Charles B. Pierce saw something nobody else did, the makings of a great movie. Pierce had been working in advertising in Texarkana when news of the monster attack broke in the local paper. He read the accounts with growing fascination and recognized its storytelling potential. Pierce wanted to capture something authentic, the genuine fear that had gripped a rural Arkansas community. Pierce's vision was bold for its time. Rather than create a conventional horror film, he decided to approach the Falk monster story as a documentary blended with dramatic recreations. This format, which we now call a docudrama, was relatively unusual for monster movies in the early 1970s. Most creature features of the era relied on pure fiction and special effects. Pierce wanted to ground his film in reality, to make audiences wonder if what they were seeing might actually be true. The filmmaker began by interviewing residents of Falk who claimed to have encountered the creature. "Something was out there watching us," one local hunter told Pierce, his voice still shaking months after the encounter. "I've been in these woods all my life, and I ain't never seen nothing like it." These authentic testimonies would form the backbone of his film, adding credibility that no script could match. For the dramatic recreations, Pierce made another unconventional choice. Rather than casting professional actors, he recruited the actual residents of Falk to play themselves. Willie E. Smith, who owned the Falk garage where three-toed footprints had been discovered, appeared in the film. "Those tracks weren't made by any animal I know," Smith explained on camera, pointing to the spot where he'd found them. Local hunters who had searched for the creature played themselves. This approach added another layer of authenticity to the project. The people on screen were telling their own story. Pierce shot the film entirely on location in and around Falk. The wooded areas around Boggy Creek became natural sets, with mist rising from the murky waters and thick undergrowth crackling underfoot. The same locations where people claimed to have encountered the monster. The dense canopy filtered sunlight into eerie patterns on the forest floor. The Ford family home was recreated for the movie, built to match the original where the attack had occurred. By filming in the actual locations, Pierce captured the genuine atmosphere of the region that made the monster story seem plausible. The film, originally titled Tracking the Falk Monster, was produced on a shoestring budget. Pierce's modest resources forced creative solutions. Instead of elaborate monster costumes or special effects, he relied on brief glimpses, shadowy figures, and the power of suggestion. This approach actually enhanced the film's effectiveness, leaving the monster's appearance largely to the viewer's imagination. When released in 1972, now titled The Legend of Boggy Creek, expectations were modest. It opened in a few theaters in Arkansas and Texas. What happened next surprised everyone involved. Audiences flocked to see the movie. Lines formed around theaters. People drove from neighboring states to watch the film. The docudrama format had struck a chord with viewers, making them wonder if this monster might actually exist. The success quickly spread beyond the South. Theaters across the country began showing the film, and the audience kept growing. By the end of its theatrical run, The Legend of Boggy Creek had grossed approximately $20 million. Making it the 11th highest-grossing film of 1972. For a low-budget, independent film about a local monster legend, this was an extraordinary achievement. The film permanently transformed the image of the Falk monster from a local curiosity to a nationally recognized cryptid. Before Pierce's movie, the creature was known primarily to the residents of Miller County and readers of a few newspaper articles. After the film, it became a part of American folklore, discussed alongside Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. The docudrama format gave the legend a credibility that pure fiction couldn't achieve, making even skeptical viewers wonder if something strange might actually be wandering the Arkansas woods. For the town of Fauk, the film's success brought unexpected changes. A community that had once been primarily for farming and timber suddenly found itself associated with a monster. Some residents embraced this new identity, recognizing the tourism potential. Others were less enthusiastic, concerned that their hometown would be reduced to a monster gimmick. Regardless of individual opinions, the town's identity had been permanently altered. Fauk, Arkansas was now monster country. When people talk about unknown creatures in North American wilderness, most think of Bigfoot. The large, hairy, bipedal creature reported primarily in the Pacific Northwest. The Fauk monster shares some similarities with its more famous cryptid cousin. But witnesses consistently report features that make this Arkansas creature stand apart from other mysterious beings. These differences emerge across decades of sightings, creating a unique creature profile that has puzzled researchers and fascinated monster hunters. The standard description of the Fauk monster, based on multiple witness accounts from the early 1970s, portrays a creature standing approximately 7 feet tall and weighing between 250 and 300 pounds. Its body is reportedly covered entirely in long, dark hair, sometimes described as a reddish brown, but most often as nearly black. The hair appears longest on the arms, which many witnesses describe as disproportionately long compared to the body. This general description bears some resemblance to Bigfoot reports, yet differs significantly in scale and proportion. While most reports describe a 7-foot creature, a few legendary accounts whisper of giants nearly 10 feet tall, weighing as much as 800 pounds. This size discrepancy raises questions about whether witnesses encountered creatures of different ages or sexes, or perhaps entirely different animals grouped under one label. Perhaps the most distinctive physical feature in the Fauk monster sightings involves its movement patterns. Unlike the plodding walk often associated with Bigfoot, witnesses describe the Fauk monster moving with surprising speed and agility. Many accounts mention a peculiar galloping gait, with the creature covering ground like a shadow racing across the forest floor. Its arms swinging in a monkey-like fashion, this distinctive movement pattern appears consistently in reports spanning decades. The creature's footprints represent the most compelling physical evidence in the Fauk monster mystery. Unlike the 5-toed prints typically associated with Bigfoot and other cryptid primates, the Fauk monster consistently leaves 3-toed impressions. The prints found near the Ford home in 1971 measured approximately 17 inches long and 7 inches wide, significantly larger than any known wildlife in the region. Similar 3-toed prints were discovered in Willie Smith's soybean field, arranged in a straight line suggesting a bipedal creature. Archaeologist Frank Sambach of Southern State College examined these footprints and concluded there was a 99% chance the tracks are a hoax, citing the 3-toed configuration inconsistent with known primates and the absence of historical primate activity in the region. Yet this distinctive 3-toed characteristic remains the single most significant feature distinguishing the Fauk monster from other cryptids. All known primates have 5 toes, making these prints particularly puzzling. Witnesses frequently report powerful sensory impressions during encounters. Nearly every account mentions an overwhelming odor like nature's warning signal, a noxious blend of skunk spray and wet dog that hangs in the air like a tangible presence. This powerful smell often alerts people to the creature's presence before visual confirmation. Equally haunting are the creature's eyes, bright red orbs that pierce the darkness like burning coals, often compared to the size of silver dollars. This eye description appears in accounts from the 1950s through recent sightings, creating another consistent element in the creature's profile and distinguishing it from Bigfoot's typically dark or amber eyes. Skeptics note that if a 300 to 800-pound creature regularly moved through the Arkansas woods, more substantial evidence would exist beyond footprints and sightings. The lack of clear photographs, despite increased camera technology, and the absence of physical remains raises legitimate questions about the creature's existence. Yet the physical descriptions from witnesses remain remarkably consistent across decades. From the earliest documented sightings to recent encounters, people report a large bipedal creature with long dark hair, extraordinary speed, and distinctive 3-toed footprints. This consistency across time periods has cemented the Fauk monster as something unique in American folklore. Whether the creature represents an undiscovered species, a misidentified known animal, or an elaborate hoax. It's reported physical characteristics create a distinct profile unlike any other cryptid in North America. While the 1970s brought peak interest in the Falk monster, people continued to report encounters with the three-toed beast for decades after, suggesting that whatever lurks in the woods around Boggy Creek may still be there today. If the Falk monster had been nothing more than a brief cultural fad or an elaborate hoax perpetrated in the 1970s, we would expect reports to have faded away when the movie cameras left town. The creature would have joined the ranks of forgotten monsters that briefly captured public attention before disappearing into obscurity. But that's not what happened in Falk. Long after the legend of Boggy Creek left theaters, people continued to report encounters with something strange in the Arkansas woods. Throughout the 1980s and 1990s, sightings persisted at a steady but reduced rate. Media attention had largely moved on, but local residents still encountered unusual phenomena. Sound reports, fleeting shadows, and mysterious tracks marked these decades. Strange footprints near creek beds, unusual screams echoing through the night, and large, hair-covered figures crossing lonely roads kept the legend alive in local communities, even without national attention. Then, in 1997, something unexpected happened. Could the creature be evolving its habits? Was it becoming bolder? That year witnessed a surprising spike in Falk monster sightings, with over 40 separate reports documented within a 12-month period. This sudden surge raises compelling questions. What drove this creature from the shadows? Did environmental changes push it into populated areas? Did human activity patterns create more opportunities for encounters? Or did increased awareness simply encourage more people to report what they previously kept quiet? The explanation remains elusive, but one thing became clear. The Falk phenomenon was far from extinct. These reports have continued steadily into the 21st century. The Falk Monster Report log documents numerous sightings from 2000 to 2021, with remarkable consistency across decades. A large, hair-covered bipedal creature, typically near water sources, moving with unusual speed, and leaving distinctive three-toed tracks. Modern evidence extends beyond mere footprints. William Lunsford has documented unusual tree structures in the Falk woodlands, particularly X-shaped arrangements of broken or bent trees with no apparent natural cause. These formations, eerily similar to those associated with Bigfoot activity elsewhere, suggest possible territorial marking behavior. The deliberate nature of these structures, trees twisted at unnatural angles and positioned in geometric patterns, defy conventional explanations. Audio evidence provides another intriguing dimension. Recordings from the Falk woods capture haunting vocalizations. Long, wavering howls that begin low and rise to spine-tingling pitches, followed by strange knocking sounds. These sounds match neither wolves, coyotes, bears, nor any cataloged wildlife in the region. When played for wildlife experts, these recordings consistently baffle them, as the vocalizations combine elements of known animals in impossible ways. Even Denny Roberts, owner of the Monster Mart in Falk and longtime collector of sighting reports, had his own encounter. His description of an orangutan-like creature with reddish hair aligns remarkably with historical accounts dating back to the 1950s, creating a compelling thread of consistency through generations of witnesses. Technology has revolutionized the search. Modern researchers deploy trail cameras, thermal imaging devices, and sensitive audio recorders where previous generations relied on eyewitness testimony and plaster casts. These tools occasionally capture intriguing evidence. Shadowy figures moving between trees, unusual heat signatures, and strange eye shine. Yet definitive proof remains frustratingly out of reach, as if the creature knows exactly how to evade our most sophisticated detection methods. Particularly compelling is the geographical consistency of the reports. Sightings cluster around the same locations across 50 years, near Boggy Creek, along the Sulphur River bottomlands, and specific wooded areas surrounding Falk. This spatial pattern suggests a creature with defined territory, possibly defending its domain across generations, rather than a randomly distributed cultural phenomenon. The Falk monster's persistence into modern times demonstrates how deeply embedded this legend has become in local identity. What began as frightening encounters has transformed into something more complex. A phenomenon that bridges generations, shapes a community identity, and influences how people relate to the surrounding wilderness. The creature that once terrorized the Ford family has become a source of fascination, pride, and economic opportunity for the town of Falk. Whether lurking in physical form in the dense Arkansas woodlands, or surviving as a cultural memory, the Falk monster continues to cast its shadow across the region, evading both explanation and extinction with remarkable persistence. Before the Falk monster appeared in the national spotlight, Falk, Arkansas was a quiet, unassuming town with a population of barely 600 people. The small community sat nestled among the dense woods and swampy lowlands, its economy built primarily on agriculture, timber, and small local businesses that served the rural population. Few people outside of Miller County had ever heard of Falk. The town had no notable tourist attractions, no famous historical sites, and no particular claim to fame that would draw visitors from beyond the immediate area. It was, by most measures, just another small southern town trying to maintain its way of life in a changing world. When reports of the monster attacks began spreading and the legend of Boggy Creek brought film crews to town, many residents initially worried about what this might mean for their community. They feared that association with the monster would bring ridicule or negative attention. Some local business owners expressed concern that their town would become a joke, reduced to nothing more than the home of a made-up creature. Others worried the monster stories would scare away potential visitors, or make outsiders think of Falk as backward or superstitious. These concerns weren't entirely unfounded. In the immediate aftermath of the Ford family incident and the film's release, Falk experienced an invasion of monster hunters, journalists, and curiosity seekers. Local residents found strangers trespassing on their land, asking intrusive questions, or setting up amateur monster traps in the woods. The peace and privacy that many had valued about rural life seemed threatened by the sudden influx of outsiders. But something unexpected happened as the years passed. Rather than becoming a source of embarrassment, the Falk monster gradually transformed into something positive for the town. Local business owner Jim Wilson, who initially worried about the town's reputation, found his small diner suddenly bustling with out-of-town visitors. "I thought it would ruin us," he admitted to a local newspaper in 1975. Instead, it saved my business. Local entrepreneurs began to recognize that the creature represented a unique opportunity, something that set Falk apart from countless other small towns struggling to survive in rural America. If Falk was going to be known for its monster, some reasoned, why not embrace that identity? The Monster Mart emerged as the clearest example of this entrepreneurial spirit. A combination convenience store, souvenir shop, and informal monster museum. The establishment evolved into a community hub and tourist destination. Visitors could purchase everything from standard convenience items to Falk Monster merchandise. The walls displayed newspaper clippings, photographs, and testimonies related to monster sightings. The store's owner, Denny Roberts, observed how the monster legend changed visitation patterns. People from Texarkana hardly wouldn't come around here at all. Now, they just make a special trip down here to come. This increase in visitor traffic benefited other local businesses as well. Gas stations, restaurants, and shops all saw increased customer flow from people making the trip specifically because of the monster connection. The economic impact expanded further in 2013 with the creation of the Boggy Creek Festival, later renamed the Falk Monster Festival. This annual event brought together monster enthusiasts, researchers, witnesses, and visitors for a celebration of the town's unique claim to fame. What made the festival particularly meaningful was its connection to local education. Proceeds were dedicated to supporting the Falk School District. In 2019 alone, the festival raised over $3,000 for local schools. What had once been a frightening creature threatening a family had transformed into a source of funding for educating the town's children. Like a storm that initially threatens destruction but ultimately nourishes the soil, the Falk Monster legend first brought fear and disruption before delivering unexpected renewal. As the economic benefits became increasingly apparent, local attitudes evolved. Many residents who had once been embarrassed by the monster stories began to see the creature as a valuable part of the local heritage. The monster became a source of community identity and pride. This transformation extended even to skeptics. Many residents who openly expressed disbelief in the creature nonetheless appreciated the economic benefits of the legend. The actual existence of the monster became almost secondary to its function as a cultural touchstone for the town. Today, The monster has become so intertwined with Falk's identity that separating the town from its famous resident would be nearly impossible. Road signs, business names, and community events all reference the creature. What started as a terrifying encounter has become a foundation of community identity and economic resilience. The story of how the monster built a town offers insight into how communities can transform potential liabilities into assets, how folklore functions in the modern world, and how the stories we tell can shape places in tangible ways. Many who study the Falk monster come to accept that its true nature may never be resolved. Whether it's an undiscovered animal, folklore brought to life, or something between, the mysterious tracks have permanently marked both American mythology and one small Arkansas community. What began in fear now fuels a town's identity and economy. The creature exemplifies how legends grow, adapt, and become woven into the fabric of places and people. As Boggy Creek winds through the dense Arkansas bottomlands, the strange figure will continue moving through the shadows, evolving with each generation, forever changing those who encounter its story, and perhaps revealing new chapters yet to come. This has been Midnight Signals. I'm Russ Chamberlain, guiding you through the shadows where history meets mystery. Until next time, stay vigilant, seek the hidden, and remember, in every silence, there is a signal, and in every signal, a story waiting to be told. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Please like and subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app, leave me a comment on Spotify or YouTube, and share the show with your friends. It really helps. Also, for more, join me on MidnightSignals.net.